Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30 through 34. This is the word of the Lord. Every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wishes to redeem some of his tithe, he shall add a fifth to it. And every tithe of herds and flocks, every tenth animal of all that pass under the herdsman's staff, shall be holy to the Lord. One shall not differentiate between good or bad, neither shall he make a substitute for it. And if he does substitute for it, then both it and the substitute shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments that the Lord commanded Moses for the people of Israel on Mount Sinai. This is the word of the Lord. Here's a sad thing. We've reached the end of Leviticus. And the last passage of Leviticus concerns the tithe, which may not seem like much of an ending. But it's a more glorious ending than we might first think. The end of Leviticus is connected to the beginning of Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 1, verse 2, the Lord says to Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel, when any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering from the herd or from the flock." Leviticus begins with an offering to the Lord from the herd or from the flock. And Leviticus ends with a tithe to the Lord from the herd and from the flock. But what is the difference between those offerings with which Leviticus begins and the tithes with which it ends? The offerings brought to the Lord by the people were offered by the priests for the people. The story of Leviticus is told through those offerings. The sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offering. That was the order of worship at the tabernacle. We saw it in Leviticus chapter 9, at the first service of the tabernacle. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22. When Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them, when he came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. The priestly service at the tabernacle, it began with the sin offering, that the people might be forgiven by the Lord. And the service continued with the burnt offering, that the people might be consecrated to the Lord. And the service concluded with the peace offering, that the people might enjoy fellowship with the Lord. Through the sin offering, the people were justified by God. Through the burnt offering, the people were sanctified to God. And through the peace offering, the people enjoyed God. And this was their chief end, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. This was the purpose of the offerings with which Leviticus begins. But what is the purpose of the tithe with which Leviticus ends? The tithe is described as holy to the Lord. A tenth of the people's produce and a tenth of their livestock was set apart to the Lord. It did not belong to them, but rather it belonged to God, and so it was to be given to God. But why? One reason for the tithe is that it was given to support the work of the priests. The offerings were given in order that the priests might fulfill their work, the work of making atonement between God and man. And the tithe was given to sustain them in that work, that they might live. We see this clearly in Numbers. In Numbers chapter 18, verse 21. There the Lord says, "To the Levites I have given every tithe in Israel for an inheritance, in return for their service that they do, their service in the tent of meeting." The Levites and the priests were sustained through the tithe, in order that they might give themselves fully to the work of the tabernacle. For the tabernacle was the most important part of Israel. It was at the center of Israel. It was the dwelling place of God. There was no more important place in Israel. But in Scripture, you never find that dwelling place of God among men without a priest there to serve God and men. The tithe was to be brought to the dwelling place of God to support those who served the dwelling place of God. And so it makes sense that the story of Leviticus would end with the tithe. The book begins with the offerings that were required for the work of the priests at the tabernacle, and the book ends with the tithe required for the support and maintenance of the priests at the tabernacle. Without the tithe, you have no priest. And without the priest, you have no sacrifice. And without sacrifice, you cannot approach God. Without sacrifice, you cannot dwell with God. And that is the hope of Leviticus, the dwelling place of God among men. That hope is upheld by the offerings and the tithes with which the book begins and ends. But there is another purpose to the tithe. There is another purpose to the tithe. It was given not only in support of the priests and their work, but it was also the completion of the people's work. The tithe was given not only in support of the priests and their work, was given as the completion of the people's work. The tithe was distinct from the offering of first fruits. The first fruits were also given to the Lord for the priests. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 4, "The first fruits of your grain, of your wine, and of your oil, and the first fleece of your sheep I give to you." And not only the first fruits, but also the firstborn. Numbers chapter 18, verse 13, "The first ripe fruits of all that is in the land, which they bring to the Lord, shall be yours. Everything that opens the womb of all flesh shall be yours." The offering of first fruits, the offering of the firstborn, was also given to the Lord and given to the priests. But the offering of the first fruits was distinct from the tithe. Both were holy to the Lord, both were given to the priests, but they are distinct. One marks the beginning of the people's work, and the other marks the completion of their work. The offering of first fruits marks the beginning. The offering of the tithe marks the end. We see both of those offerings in Leviticus chapter 27. In verse 26, we read that the firstborn of animals belonged to the Lord. And now in verse 32, we read that the tenth of animals also belonged to the Lord. Every tithe of herds and flocks, every tenth animal of all that pass under the staff, shall be holy to the Lord. The tithe marks the end of the people's work. The first fruits was distinct from the tithe. The first fruits was offered at the beginning, and the tithe was offered at the end. The offering of first fruits consecrated a man's work to the Lord, And the tithe was the completion of his work to the Lord. And we see this in 2 Chronicles chapter 31. In 2 Chronicles chapter 31 in verse 4, under the reign of Hezekiah, he commanded the people who lived in Jerusalem to give the portion due to the priests and the Levites, that they might give themselves to the law of the Lord. And in verse 5 we read, "As soon as the command was spread abroad, the people of Israel gave in abundance the first fruits of grain, wine, oil, honey, and of all the produce of the field. And they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything." The offering of first fruits, it came from the beginning of their work, from the beginning of the harvest. And the tithe, it came at the end of their work, at the completion of the harvest. That work was consecrated through the offering of the first fruits. But it was not completed until the offering of the tithe. The offering of the first fruits marked the beginning of the harvest. The offering of the tithe marked the end of the harvest. And so again, it makes good sense that the book of Leviticus would end with the tithe, with the offering that marks the completion of work, with the offering that marks the completion of harvest. But here we must look beyond Leviticus. For the end of Leviticus is not only connected to the beginning of Leviticus, but the end of Leviticus is also connected to the beginning of Genesis. We see this connection in verse 30. Every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Now, in all of the Old Testament, these four words, seed, land, fruit, and trees, they appear together in only two places. Here in Leviticus chapter 27, and at the beginning in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Let the earth, let the land sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, and which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth, each according to its kind on the land. And it was so. Now that took place on the third day of creation. And what is so interesting is what happens on the fourth day. The creation of the sun and the moon and the stars. Created for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Now what's so interesting about that? The word translated as seasons in Genesis chapter 1 is used in Leviticus, but translated there as appointed feasts. The seasons of Genesis chapter 1 are not the seasons of the year. They are not the seasons of the calendar, but rather the seasons of the liturgical calendar, the appointed feasts of the liturgical calendar. And when we understand that, we begin to realize and recognize the purpose of creation. What is the purpose of creation? Worship of the Lord. The lights in the heavens, they were made not only to mark the times of man's work, but also to mark the times of his worship, to mark the times of his offerings. And the seed of the land and the fruit of the trees, they were made by God not only to sustain man, but to become an offering to the Lord. The purpose of creation is worship. creation finds its meaning in worship. Creation finds its meaning. Creation finds its completion in becoming an offering to the Lord. The end of Leviticus, it reveals the goal of creation. The purpose for which it was made. That at the end of all man's work, it might be offered as a tithe to the Lord. That is why man was made. That he might make that offering to the Lord. Man's work finds its completion in an offering to the Lord. The first man, Adam, he failed to make that offering on account of his sin. So Leviticus ends with the hope that perhaps through Israel and the tabernacle and the priests, that work might at last be fulfilled. But how does the Old Testament end? It does not end with the completion of Israel's work and a tithe to the Lord. But rather, it ends with Israel's sin and their failure to offer that tithe. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation, of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that they may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. At the end of Leviticus and at the end of the Old Testament, the purpose of creation is revealed. And the purpose of the tithe is revealed. To usher in a greater glory. The opening of the heavens. And the pouring down of a blessing without end. By which a man will never hunger or thirst again. Adam failed in his work. And so was unworthy to offer that tithe. Israel failed in its work and was unable to offer that tithe. But is the church worthy? Is the church able? Is this where I tell you to tithe? So that the heavens open and a blessing is poured down upon you? No. This is a tithe that the church cannot offer. It is a tithe that only Christ can offer. And more than this, that tithe does not come from the church, because that tithe is the church. The church is the completion of Christ's work. The church is the completion of his offering to the Lord. You are the tithe of Christ. And so he will not fail to present you to the Lord. First Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 21. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to him. Christ is the first fruits, and you are his tithe. He will not fail to present you to the Lord. For you are holy to the Lord. What shall we say to these things? Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for his mercy in Christ. Let us pray.